Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, we are continuing our message series on looking back over the 5 years of Hope City. 5 years of being here. The church was planted 5 years ago, and it's been so amazing to see what God has done. Our sermon series is Be Kind, Rewind, so we're looking back at what God led us. Every year we pray, Lord, what do you want the theme of the year to be? And then we rally around that, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to position myself so that you can do incredible things. And back in 2020, when we first launched the church, it was incredible. Many of you will know that it was COVID, right? So that was during that time. And as we were praying, like, God, what can we do in this community? A couple of our key leaders came up with an idea to do park and praise in parking lots. Right? Because we couldn't meet together, but we could definitely pray together. And I think one of them got up to almost, was it 400 people in one of our biggest ones? I don't know, like 100 cars, 400 people. We took over the whole Harbor Freight parking lot and we had worship. Was anybody at those first park and praise? Yeah, I mean, it was incredible to see what God had done. And then we went into the fall, we were remodeling the building and everything shut down. Remember that? Everything like just shut down, okay? And we were praying, God, we don't have to be shut down. We may not have a building, but we're going to still reach people, even though the church hadn't been launched yet. And so we did drive-through communion outside, where literally cars would drive up, we'd hand them communion, and it was so incredible. And then Easter came, and we were like, man, we don't have a building. And God said, you don't need a building. Do an Easter service where people can drive in. And we did a big Easter service out in the parking lot. We had 200 people, and it was at that moment where we're like, listen, nothing is going to stop us from meeting together. And I want to tell you, when we launched, Hope City was open all during COVID. We did not close, if you remember that, because we felt like people needed Jesus. As places were closing, people needed Jesus. And listen, what we said is like, man, if people get sick, then we'll deal with it. There was not one time that anyone, I mean, people dealt with COVID, right? But like in that moment, like it did not go through the church. Like God protected, and it was so amazing. In Oregon, we didn't break the law, all right? So some of you are like, well, didn't Oregon tell us we had to shut down? Oregon had a rule that said if you're 100 or less, you can meet. So we did two services, and we were rocking and rolling. And out of that season where people were so hopeless and they felt, if you remember back, the opening weekend of Hope City was the weekend that Talent and Phoenix burned. Literally in our lights, you could see all the, and we provided gift cards for people that had lost their homes. And like the church came together. It was so incredible to watch what God did. And as we came out of that moment, the Lord gave us in 2021 the idea of the forward movement. Where, listen, we cannot stop moving forward just because the world's going crazy. God has so much more. And that was that first Paula talked to us about the forward movement. And we really dug into that to say, listen, none of us have to be stuck. We don't have to stop what God has called us to do. In fact, in the moments where life gets the most difficult, that's when we can run forward even better. Right? If the enemy's fighting us, if the enemy's trying to stop us, that's when we can move forward. That's when the darkness goes running, right? And then the next year, as we were coming out of that, and if you remember, people were just in a daze. They're like, what do we even do? Like, what do we do at this moment? Life was so upside down. But we wanted to remind people, and God put on our heart of the second year theme of exponentially more, where God had so much more for people than what they were living in at that very moment. That was 2023 coming out of that. And I've never seen God work and speak in such clarity and almost like high def. The words that God came back with people, I mean, it just really blew me away as people really plugged into that and said, God, I want exponentially more in my life. Because the thing is, God has so much for us. I don't want to leave anything that's on the table, right? I want to take hold of all that God has for us. I want to take hold of all that God wants to do. As a side note today, you might have experienced in the service, like we're calling things out, like migraines and things like that. And I want to tell you, we ask for God's presence, but wouldn't it be so weird if he just came and never spoke to us? He's speaking to us. When we say, God, come into, like we want more of you, we want more of your presence, he's going to speak to us. And we got to be ready for that. Like, wouldn't it be so weird for you to invite me to come over to your house and then I just stare at you? That's awkward. When we invite Jesus to come into and his presence is here, he's going to speak. So let's be ready for it. Let's be ready to open our hearts. That, it's his goodness and his kindness. Well, then last year, we went into the sermon series of bearing good fruit. And that's my job today. I'm gonna speak to you about that. We just talked about it right before Christmas, and I thought, oh man, people are gonna like think that we're just repeating stuff, right? But we're not. And here's what I want to challenge you. Don't just sit here and go, oh, I've heard this before. Anytime God brings something up in a morning service, or anytime, like, know that it's God. Know that it's him bringing it back up to remind us. And today I want to talk specifically, as we look about bearing good fruit, I want to talk to you about the pruning process, what it looks like. The Bible says that when God's people, if they don't know what he's doing, they stumble all over themselves. And especially in this area of pruning, I want to dig in and I want to look about what this looks like and how this works in our lives. Matthew 7, 16 through 20 says this, and he warns us about false prophets here, Jesus was, but he also, I think, speaks to us in general, and he says this, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. God doesn't care what you say as much as what you do. We can talk all day long about something, but if our actions don't match up, we're missing out on what God wants to do in our lives. It's exactly what this said. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. And God does care what you say. That's not what I mean. But you know what I'm saying. He's looking at how you act because that shows who you truly are. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. I'm so grateful that God doesn't just come in and cut us down. There's a process that he takes us through called pruning that helps us to avoid this very scripture. If we will allow God to prune the areas of our life that he wants to come in and take, and we see this in scripture, literally, he'll change us. John 15, 2 says this, he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. God is concerned about your fruitfulness, and he's concerned about you even more fruit in your life, producing more fruit, like that fruit of the Spirit that we talk about. Listen, when you look at the analogy of trees and dead branches, it's important to understand dead branches on a tree can harm its health by providing entryways for pests and diseases, weakening the tree's structure, adding unnecessary weight. It's the same for you and I. When we're trying to hold on to dead branches that God's trying to take, it will literally weaken you. Some of you feel like you have such a heavy load. Could it be that God has pruned branches and you pick them back up and you're trying to carry them? When it gets heavy, you have to start looking at God. What are you trying to do? Some of us, we have dead branches which are literally opening the door for the enemy to attack because those branches are dead. There's other branches that are keeping us from the light. It's important to prune a tree to maintain a tree's overall health and safety. Essentially, they act as a potential gateway to pests and difficulties and diseases. What dead branches are affecting your struggle, your structure? What dead branches are weighing you down? What dead branches are keeping you from the fruitfulness that we talk about in Scripture? Galatians 5, 22 through 23 gives us an idea. This is what should be coming out of our lives. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And I want to tell you, when this kind of fruit of the Spirit comes out of your life, it's going to change you. It's going to change everyone around you. You have to look at what's coming out of your life. The same is true if you allow bad fruit out of your life. Anger, fear, anxiety, worry, no patience, control. Look at what's coming out of your life. It's a very important thing to look at because that tells you what's going on inside of you. It's a good evaluation tool. On a regular basis, stop and say, am I showing love? Do I have peace? Well, I'll have joy when this circumstance turns around for me. No, you won't. Because then the enemy brings you something else. Joy is not based on the circumstances around you. It's based on him. Well, I just am full of anxiety. Okay, is that what Scripture says you should just sit there and live in? Well, it's my anxiety. Stop calling it your anxiety. No wonder the enemy's giving you more of it. Well, I'm just grumpy by nature. Okay, Eeyore, it's time to change. Well, that's just who I am. Really? That's what you want to stay? Well, I love to control things. Okay, great. How's that working for you? The fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives is so important. Bottom line, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you can't be content to bear bad fruit in your life. What does bad fruit symbolize? Our actions, attitudes, and outcomes that are contrary to God's will and His word. And the only way to get rid of it is allowing Him to prune us. The only way. And I know some of you heard, oh, pruning. Oh, man. Because sometimes it can be challenging, it can be painful, it can really, if you don't understand what God's doing, it can send you on kind of a whirlwind in your life, and you have to know when God's coming to prune, He's coming to do it because He loves you. Pruning requires a great deal of trust in God and openness to say, God, whatever's in my life that's not of you, I want to give it up. But here's the thing, be ready when you pray that prayer because He'll show up and He'll take your word. If you're praying that, just like praying for patience, I promise you, He'll come up and He'll show you, and it's a process. But here's what I know. God doesn't come in with a chainsaw. Some of you loggers, because that's what you're thinking. He comes, okay? He comes in gently. If He has to come in with a chainsaw, you're in trouble, right? Pruning requires that trust. And I promise you, there's great fruit, and great fruit that can come out of your life when you allow Him to prune. He always prunes in love. You can rest assured. Hear me when I say this, and you might want to take a picture of this. Pruning is not punishment, it's preparation. Let me say it again. Pruning is not punishment, it's preparation. So if you'll hold on, you'll allow God to prune the areas of your life that He wants to prune. It's not punishment, it's preparation. So I want to look at three things. First of all, how does God prune? Okay, because these are the ways that He uses pruning in our lives, maybe among some others. Through conviction is the first thing. God convicts people of things that need to change in their lives. And here's what the thing is. Conviction is different than guilt and shame. Guilt and shame would tell you, this is who you are. This is the punishment for it. The guilt and shame, He just heaps it on. Here's how the enemy works. He tempts you. You fall for the temptation. And then He brings guilt and shame. How could you do this? Look at you. Look at your heart. Like God could never love you. All of that guilt and shame that just comes along. Anybody ever been through that process before? Where guilt and shame, just the enemy's on your shoulder. He's speaking to you and trying to be the accuser of the brethren. See, conviction works like this. Listen, I want so much better for you. Look, I'm going to help you. I'm going to come along. Conviction is that small, still voice. God is not going to yell at you. If He's yelling at you, there's a problem. And typically, He's never going to be like, hey, stupid, what are you doing? That might be your dad from when you grew up a long time ago, but that would never be God. He speaks to you in a still, small voice. And here's the thing with conviction. The more you ignore it, the quieter it gets. If you'll take that and say, God, when you convict my heart, I'll be obedient right away. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. We're not going to try to bargain. God, whatever it is, as you convict my heart, I'm going to listen to your voice, and then I'll be obedient. I've said this and you've heard me say it. Disobedience, delayed obedience is disobedience. So the best way, when God comes in to prune and He brings conviction, yes, God, whatever you have, and I'm willing to walk through this process with you. There's great blessing in obedience. Another thing He does is through circumstances. God uses good and bad circumstances to prune people. Notice I said God uses, He doesn't cause bad circumstances. He doesn't cause bad things to happen to people, but He'll definitely use them in our life. And I want to tell you, and we forget about this maybe when we look at God, God also tests us. He goes, oh, so this is what you're saying. Let's test and see how it is. So what you're walking through right now could be a test. He gets you to the other side of it, and you'll see God prunes your heart. I know you're just going to love this next one. You ready? Through suffering. Suffering can expose idol in people's hearts It can expose what you put above God, what you believe about God. And as you overcome suffering, you'll grow spiritually. Again, notice I'm not saying that God causes people to suffer, but he will use suffering in our lives to prune. How we respond in times of suffering is a good indicator of how much we trust God. Do you run away from God or do you run to him? Do you fall apart in fear or do you rise up in faith when you're walking through suffering? Here's the thing, and I think people believe this, and I've heard people say, well, how could God allow this to happen to me? I'm serving him. Because the Bible says trouble reigns on the just and the unjust. And we are going to face suffering. If it was, oh God, everything's perfect when you start serving God, and he's going to be the God that, it is perfect. You're going to get through it, but that doesn't mean you don't have to walk through it, right? If he said, hey, you serve me and I'll make your life perfect, that's manipulation. He does not make that promise. And if you think that that's what God has said, then you're going to be disappointed when suffering comes. There will be times that we suffer. There will be times that we walk through difficulties. And how we overcome that is so important. I've seen people during tremendous suffering who placed their trust firmly in God, and they were unmovable. It didn't matter what was happening. It didn't matter how bad things would get. And suffering in our lives a lot of times is like a storm. Here's what I want to ask you. If you have a bunch of dead branches on your tree, what happens when a storm comes? The tree falls over. My question is, what happens when storms come into your life? Have you allowed God to prune you so you can be ready for those storms and ready to stand up and not fall? There'll be blessing that comes on the other side of it. Let's be like palm trees. Anybody, you've seen palm trees before? Those leaves on palm trees, they need a good storm to whip them. They call it whipping, okay? And it makes the tree actually healthier, right? I'm not saying you're going to get a whipping, okay? But I'm saying we need to be like palm trees. When those storms come, man, let it build us rather than falling apart. Spiritual maturity. Also, through removing dead things. God removes things that people no longer desire or things that God wants to let them go. And I want to tell you, once you get saved, there's a good possibility God is going to prune people out of your life who you had, that you knew before you were saved, and they are nothing but dead weight today. Not that he doesn't love them, not that your job isn't to reach them, but maybe not be best friends with them anymore. God takes relationships out of your life that are toxic. And what we'll do sometimes is we try to pick those dead branches up and put them back on. If God is taking people out of your life, let him. If there's relationships being cut away, let him. I want to tell you, if you're an addict that just got clean, you know what? You need to erase every one of those numbers in your phone of those old friends because they're not good for you. Not only addicts either. You need to go through your phone and any relationship that's toxic and not good for you, delete that number because you're not going to need it anymore. Delete that number. Maybe you need to leave that phone here and we'll take care of it for you with a hammer. Well, I still have it in my iCloud. Well, then delete your iCloud. If God's trying to remove a relationship, let him. Don't try to keep holding on. My dad would tell a story. He was a meat cutter. And if you've ever seen meat cutters, they have these sharp knives. And I don't know if you know how sharp they are, but the knives are so sharp that if they hit your fingers, they'll slice them. And my dad, we were talking about a relationship one time, or we were talking about something, and he goes, listen, stop trying to grab that knife. Because what would happen is if a meat cutter, that knife started to fall, you know, your first thing is like, grab it. It would slice your fingers off. He said, let it fall. Let it hit the ground. Some of you are trying to grab stuff that's hurting you big time. You need to let that knife fall. Through isolation, there are times that God may isolate you in a new environment so that he can speak to you. Some of us, we need to think about this. If you've not heard God's voice, and I'm not talking about isolation from his voice, I'm talking about getting you in a place that literally your focus is on what God wants to speak and not the world around you. I'm very thankful that TikTok got shut down today because it's one less thing that we have to pay attention to. I'm just kidding. Oh, I just made enemies. Everybody's like, all the TikTokers are like, you're having withdrawals. Praise the Lord, all right? Some of you just shut off. God might be trying to prune TikTok off your life, so just let him, right? I'm just kidding. It's back up already? Oh, I got to start going back. I got to go back into intercessory prayer right now. Whew. I don't even know what I was saying. That totally. Anyways, God might put you into isolation so that you can pay attention to what God is saying. New environments. God might be putting you into a life group where you're uncomfortable so you can get into a new environment. You need to get plugged into a life group. You might go, hey, God's taking away all these old relationships. Well, I want to tell you a great place to make new ones is in a life group. Get plugged in. Find some people that you can do life together with, okay? Through insight, God may give people insight into somebody's true intentions so you can cut ties with that person. The Word of God is a big part that will help you to get insight. Through other people, the Bible tells us God will put people into our lives who will help prune us. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. If no one in your life that you've given permission to can actually speak truth, you're in trouble. You need people in your life who will call you out on your stuff. You need people in your life, and some of us, that may be our spouses. God has put a spouse in your life who's going to call you out on your stuff, all right? And don't get all mad at them. Look at it as a gift, not as somebody trying to control you. You need people in your life who will tell you the truth and who will call you out on your junk. You need people that you've given approval. And don't get all huffy with them. Like, I can't believe you'd say that to me. How about, oh my goodness, I need to actually, and I've talked from experience because, you know, I mean, there are times that people will call me out and stuff. You're like, what? And then you just got to go, okay, God, you're using that person to prune my life. Be thankful. You need people in your life. If all you have is people who will be kind to you and not tell you the truth, they're not true friends. You need people. Listen, I always say this too. God gives us marriage not to be happy, but to be holy. And you need to give your spouse permission to speak into your life and go, hey, that's not okay. And they'll probably do it anyways, even if you don't give them permission. So I'm just saying. Who is in your life that will hold you accountable? Who's in your life that will speak truth and love? And like I said, also be prepared to let go of relationships that need to be pruned. This is when it gets really hard. When God comes and he takes unhealthy and toxic people out of your life and dead relationships, let him. When you get saved, this is one of the first things that God does is he wants to take that unhealthy relationship. And we already talked about that a little bit, but don't hold on. Don't be surprised if God uses your job to prune you. God may have put a boss in your life to prune you. They may not even be saved, and that's okay. If God can use a donkey, he can use your boss. And see, here's the deal. Here's the thing. Here's what happens. We go, well, this is my church world. This is God over here. And I come to Sunday, and that's where he happens. And then real life, Monday through Sunday, Saturday, and we keep these people in separate boxes, and God's over here, and my boss is over here. And God's saying, I want to invade every area of your life. Every area of your life. And he will use people at work. You may hate your job because you're getting pruned right now. You might be looking at your job tomorrow saying, oh my goodness, I have to go back. How about we turn that around and say, God, what are you trying to do in my life? What are you trying to do by pruning me to become better? God will use whatever he needs to use that will get your attention. Don't be shocked when he shows up at your job and he goes, I'm going to use the people around you to prune you. Are you ready? God wants to invade your work and be part of everyday life. So point number two, understand the process of pruning. What are the outcomes? Pruning will be painful sometimes. God will come in and he'll prune areas of our life. It involves cutting. It can be a painful process. But in our lives, pruning might look like losing relationships or facing challenges or surrendering our plans. But I want to tell you, if you'll stick in there and you'll allow God to prune, you'll get to the other side of it and God will be able to do things in your life that you've only dreamed about. Pruning can be painful. Pruning requires us to trust the gardener. Listen, if I was the gardener, there'd be rocks everywhere. Look at the front yard of the church. We had those stinking, like, I hate those, what are they called? The goat heads, right? They are of the devil. I want to tell you, goat heads are, I don't know where they came from, but straight from hell. I can promise you that. Okay? We had goat heads all in the front yard. So little kids would be running in the summer without their shoes, and they'd come in with 5 goat heads in there. And I'm like, okay, that's it. What we're going to do, we're going to spray these things down with the strongest and put rocks over it and call it good. Because I'm not a gardener. Out front, if we wouldn't have had people that were smart and made it look really good, it'd be all rock. Trust me. I would be so happy if it was rock. But where's the beauty? That's not the kind of gardener that Jesus is. He comes along and he goes, I want this to be perfect. And it's a beautiful garden. And he comes along and we can trust the gardener because he's the best gardener. So how about we open our hearts and say, God, whatever you want to prune, I'm up for it. However you want to build my garden, to build my tree, God, I'm up for it. And here's the thing we have to realize, and sometimes we get this, we miss out on this thinking. When you're doing a garden, good things will be growing right beside the weeds. And you might go, well, look at all the good things that are happening in my life. And Jesus is like, look at the weeds that I want to pull out and let me pull them out, because if you let them grow, it's going to suck the life out of the good things that are happening. It takes the resources. It takes the sunlight. So God comes along and goes, great for the good things. And now I want to pull the things that are still growing out of your life. So we never arrive. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the process. It doesn't matter how long that you've been a Christian. God will come in and he'll prune things. He'll come in and he'll take care of your garden. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's a big verse when it comes to pruning. Trust in the Lord with all. Will you say the word all? When you see the word all in Scripture, it means all. I know that's shocking. But a lot of us are like, oh God, you can have 90%. I trust you with 90%. But the rest of the final 10, I don't know if I can go there. Will you say the word all? Write it down. If you know you've not given God all, that's what he's speaking to you today. Give him all. Trust in all. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. God, I'm just trying to understand what you're doing. You're not going to. Just let him do it. Pruning is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time process. It's a continuous process. As we grow, new areas may require God's refining touch. Philippians 1:6 says this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So let him do it. Let him do it. He'll carry it on. He'll do what he wants if you'll allow him, but you gotta allow him in. Point number three, how do we respond to God's pruning? First of all, don't ask God why, ask God what. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? And see, the enemy uses that question of why. Check this out, because this is important to understand. The enemy uses that question of why to question God and question his goodness. And if you go there, what you'll find is you'll be like, why, God? And that lack of belief will start to grow in your heart because you're not going to get the answer of why. I tell people this all the time. Don't ask him why. Say, God, what do you want me to do with this? Start asking him, God, what is it that you want to do in me and through me? What are you trying to do? Second of all, don't fight God. We fight God by trying to pick stuff back up. Let him prune what needs to be pruned. Trust God's timing. Don't rush him. There's gardener. If you're a gardener, you know it takes time, doesn't it? You got to go out there every day. That's why I don't have the patience to do it. I couldn't be a good gardener. I want stuff to grow fast. Like, I want to put it in the ground and have pumpkins tomorrow. I don't want to have to wait, but that's not how God works. So that's where we learn patience. To go, God, I'm going to trust your timing. I'm not going to try to rush God. Guys, we have eternity with Jesus. That's forever. Sometimes we look at our life and go, man, I only have 70 years to get this all accomplished. Nope, you have eternity. If you're serving Jesus, it's forever. This is just a moment. We respond to God's pruning by getting closer to Jesus, not getting farther away from him. John 15, 5 through 8 says this, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to be connected to him. We can't be apart from him. Even Jesus, as he walked this earth, he said, I do these things because I'm connected to God. And we follow that same model. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Guys, there's no question about how important it is that we need to remain in him. What does that mean? It means to be connected to him. It means to be in our word. It means to be praying. It means this. Don't look at all the branches that God has cut off of your life and start digging in them. Like, oh, I need to pull this one back. One of my good friends on Facebook the other day talked about this. He's like, I got all these branches that God cut off, and I try to pick them back up and try to put them in the spots where they used to be and, like, maybe try to duct tape them on. Duct tape does not work when God's pruning your life. Let those branches go. Stop trying to pick them back up. Oh, I'm going to dig around in here. Man, this was so much better. I promise you, what you remember in the past is good was not as good as you remember it. Though the good old days when I used to have all those great relationships, baloney. I'm going to dig in this pile that God, and then I'm going to try to carry them around. And you wonder why you're so weighted down when you're carrying these old branches around? God has called you to let those branches go, and he's going to do a new work in your life if you let him. Don't try to reattach dead branches. Don't try to go back. Don't try to pick up those old relationships that you know are toxic because it gives you some kind of peace. Because really, it's not peace at all. You're just like, God, you're afraid of what he's going to bring new. And I promise you, he will be faithful, he will be good, and he will bring you new relationships. He'll bring you the things that are good for you if you'll let him. What if we're the ones standing in the way of what God wants to do in our own lives? What if you and I are the ones because we're like, God, I don't want you to prune. Like, I'm afraid you're going to take things out of my life. Let him do it. Some of us, we're standing in the way because we won't let him take that old, dead wood. And when the storms come, we fall apart. We're so busy trying to reattach old things that we forget that God has new for us. And I don't know about you, but I want you to know this. Those new branches that are going to start growing with life are so much better than the old branches that were weighing us down. You can breathe. Like literally, those old branches that have been stealing all this resource and light out of your life and all the fear and anxiety and all that junk that those old dead branches bring that Jesus wants to cut off. Your life will be transformed.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.